Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery. This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a very special person. We've got Jamie Tynan on the podcast. Jamie serves as the Vice President, Assistant Vice President of Integration at Atrium Health. Atrium Health, since she's been there, has grown from about a $4 to $5 billion system to about a $12 to $14 billion system. It's grown tremendously in its reach and its import. Thrilled to have Jamie on today. We're going to talk to Jamie about issues of race in healthcare and society. Jamie, can you take a moment to introduce yourself, and then we'll get going on the substance of the discussion?
Sure. Thank you, Scott, for having me. So as you said, in my current role, I am the Assistant Vice President of Integration at Atrium Health, which has been an honor and a privilege to be able to serve our integrated healthcare delivery system and help bring organizations together. And that's the work that I do. I'm also the creator and founder of 100 by 2030. Which is a career initiative to sponsor more women of color in healthcare over the next 10 years. So very honored to be here and looking forward to the discussion.
Jamie, thank you. You've always been a leader for both women and for women and people of color. Take a moment and talk about, this is not a new thing for you, this has been a forever thing for you, about these efforts and how they became such a core part of what you do.
Yes, so I've had a variety of experiences in my career where I have had coaches and mentors and sponsors who have truly been invested in my success and my growth and development. And one of the things that has always been a common theme throughout those experiences is this desire to want to lift as I climb and to be able to give back and pay it forward to other women of color, people of color who are looking to grow in their careers and have the same access to mentors and sponsors and leaders who are going to elevate them, give them higher visibility projects, and really take their political capital and use it to help lift others who are looking to advance in their career. So it's always been a passion of mine personally. I've had some amazing mentors and sponsors at a variety of organizations I've worked at, and specifically at Atrium Health. I've had leaders who have given me opportunities to participate in executive development programs, have put me on high priority projects. And quite honestly, one of those projects helped me to get promoted to assistant vice president. So as I continue to grow in my career, I want to make sure that I'm creating space for others to also have seats at the table.
Well, and I think that's really the definition of great leadership, those that try and help others become great and aren't just focused on themselves. So I think magnificent. Take a moment and talk about what you see with racism in America, both currently and in the long run. You've been outspoken, as many have, about concerns raised about police brutality and racism in the United States. Take a moment and provide your perspective.
You know, the topic of racism, while it's pretty much been woven into the fabric, I think, of our country since it was founded, I think has a specific and very important impact in healthcare. And so when we've been talking, and you know, racism has been highlighted most recently because of what's happened across our country, obviously with the George Floyd murder and protests and others as well that have really led us to this point. The one thing that I think about most directly connected to my work is the impact of institutionalized and systemic racism on the impact of healthcare and how healthcare is delivered, and specifically on the outcomes of individuals who come from underrepresented communities, who are people of color, And when you look at the research and you think about that connection between racism and health disparities, it is very alarming, I think, in our country. And many of us know that, you know, Black and Brown Americans have higher rates of maternal and infant mortality, heart disease, advanced aging. And there was an article that was written by The Guardian that was talking about racism being a public health crisis. And when I think about that, it's actually, you know, a lot of times we're talking about COVID-19 and the pandemic that we're in. I truly believe that racism is a pandemic and is something that we as leaders need to really wrestle with and come to terms with. And quite honestly, when we think about the day-to-day experiences of people of color like myself and having to deal with microaggressions in the workplace potentially and the stress that comes from that, really and truly, we need to find a way as leaders to eliminate that experience, because we can't bring our full selves to work. We can't be our best selves with our families. And quite honestly, it will continue to prolong the chronic illnesses that tend to have higher incidences in underrepresented communities. So I think as leaders, we absolutely need to think of racism as a public health emergency that we need to figure out. How do we bring people together? How do we eliminate disparities? And holding ourselves accountable for those results as well.
Thank you very much. And Jamie, talk for a moment about how do you eradicate, reduce these kinds of micro and macro aggressions? What can be done about it? What should leaders be doing?
Yeah, so I really think of this solution in three different parts. And the first thing I would recommend, there is actually a really interesting graphic that the Women of Color and Pharma organization has been circulating on LinkedIn that talks about how do I change racism. So it was really directed at leaders and executives and helping you to understand how do you move from maybe the fear of talking about racism to growth, right? How do you grow out of that? How do you be a more inclusive leader? And so the three things that I would offer in this space, number one, embrace and celebrate racial diversity, and quite honestly, truly listen to the unique lived experiences of people of color in a genuine and authentic way. I think that's the first place that you start. You know, my mother used to tell me that you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. And she meant that because it's important to listen and to truly actively listen and appreciate and understand and empathize with the different experiences that people have. And I think that that's a great place for people to open up their minds and hearts to talking about racism and not being afraid to discuss it with each other. The second thing I would offer is self-education. I think sometimes when we talk about racism, and I don't think it's intentional necessarily, but we expect that Black and Brown people educate everyone on racism. And I think there's a really, you know, wonderful opportunity in this moment to self-educate. So there's several different books out there that I've been reading that I've been recommending to friends around how do you grow in your understanding and in your education about racism. One of them is So You Want to Talk About Race, which is a fantastic book by Ijeoma Oluwo. Highly recommended. It's a great narrative on race and racism. The other one is How to Be an Anti-Racist from Dr. Ibram Kendi. And I really think that those two books are wonderful resources to consider when you're thinking about understanding racism from different perspectives. And there's a wealth of other books out there that I would highly recommend. But really taking the value of self-education, I think, is truly important. And then the last thing I would offer up is being an empathetic leader. This is a very, many people talk about this being a very unprecedented time, but empathy is truly a leadership competency, and being able to understand the needs of others and how do you as a leader show up in that moment is really important. So I wrote about an experience I had at Atrium Health, obviously. There was a physician leader, and this was weeks ago when this first started, had reached out to me. We hadn't talked in a while, but I guess I was on his mind because of what was happening in the country, and just simply asked me, you know, how are you doing? What can I do to help? I might not understand what you're going through, but just know that I'm here for you. And I think more leaders need to be genuine and reaching out to their teammates that might be struggling right now and trying to at least connect with them on a different level, and not waiting for an invitation, not waiting for a prompt, but truly caring about your team and what they might be experiencing, I think is absolutely key. So the three that in summary I would offer, obviously embracing racial differences and celebrating those, educating yourself on the issues, and then empathetic leadership as a way to help eradicate some of the issues of racism.
And you had mentioned, Jamie, earlier on in the discussion, something that your mother had said at one time. And take a moment and talk about your parents' generation. When they see this thing like the George Floyd murder, or all the racial tension in the country, are they aghast that things have gone backwards, or do they look at it and say, no, Jamie, this is how it's always been? What's the perception? And obviously you can't generalize, but if you were to think about someone who's a generation before you, how do they look at these issues? Do they look at it and say, there's been progress and there's setbacks, or do they look at it and say, this is America and it's bad? Or how do they sort of capture these moments?
You know, Scott, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was texting with my dad a couple of weeks ago again when a lot of the protests were starting, because I was checking in on him and my brother to see how they were doing mentally, spiritually, and physically. And I remember my dad texting me and saying that it feels like we're back in the 1960s. And of course, I did not grow up in that time, and so I can only imagine what that might have felt like growing up during that decade. But I immediately knew what he meant. But what he also said was that the difference between what happened when he was growing up versus now is that you have all of these sorts of experiences and incidences of racism being filmed, right? So before, you really had to rely and believe that these were the experiences of people of color in our country. Now you actually are seeing evidence via social media, via your phone becoming kind of like a way to capture and validate the experiences that you are having. And so we're at this moment right now where everyone is very much focused on these experiences. And the question becomes, how long will this last? How long will racism truly be something that has our attention? And in this moment, how do we show up as leaders to say, this isn't just a point in time where we're focused on it? We need to keep talking, keep moving forward and trying to find ways to eliminate racism across our country, how to be anti-racist, right? How to have confidence and courage when we are in the middle of experiencing racism. So I think that the difference truly is that now we have the attention of America on this issue in a very different way. And you're seeing that through the videos that are being shared on social media and people sharing their unique experiences with each other. So I'm hopeful that leaders like myself and like you, quite honestly, Scott, who are very much committed to creating spaces for this dialogue, will continue to keep this as a focal point for us. Let it not be just a moment in time that we have everyone's attention. Let's make sure that we do things differently and that we truly, again, create space for these conversations and, most importantly, create change.
And let me take you back to your discussion with your father. And when you talk to your father, is he ultimately negative or is he optimistic about the long term? How does he view it? And then how do you view it?
You know, I would say that my father is probably optimistic, but leaning towards neutral, right? Because I think having the years of experiences that he's had and not seeing the change, it can make you a little bit cautious when it comes to truly believing that our country is committed to moving forward in a different way. And I would say that, you know, I'm a very optimistic person, but I also like to follow up optimism with tangible change. So again, we've had a lot of organizations publicly come out against racism, as they should, making very powerful and moving statements about their commitment to not supporting discrimination and racism and bigotry. But I think what we're all expecting is that we follow up those statements, those commitments with action and change. And so I think between myself and my father, we're both looking forward to the future in a positive way, but we absolutely want to make sure that we're holding ourselves accountable for those outcomes. We're holding ourselves accountable for being brave and being bold in this moment and continuing the conversation and the actions going forward.
Thank you very much, Jamie. I could talk to you forever about this and almost any issue because you're just such a pleasure to speak to always. So articulate and so smart and such a compassionate person who's so passionate about helping others. Just a great pleasure to visit with you. This is the second time we've had you on our podcast. We'd love to, of course, have you on again. I want to thank you, Jamie Tynan from Atrium Health, for joining us today. And we'll keep on talking about these issues and hopefully see change. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Scott, for having me.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.